Good morning. It is good to be here. Good to see you all. And it's definitely a hot day. So I hope nobody has plans to be outside doing anything major as far as work. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. I decided to throw verse 6 in there today. So Romans 5, verses 1 through 6. Today we're looking at peace and hope. And you know where we can only find it. It's in Jesus. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand if you're able as I read from God's Word. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're truly thankful for the reading of your word. And God, today, speak the peace and hope to our hearts that we need. Let us learn from Scripture today, dear God, that we have to trust in you, and our lives have to be centered in you and rooted in you. And Father, when we do that, we will live in peace. And Father, I forgot to pray for Piper this morning, Lord. In this message, I pray you'll speak to her heart, Lord, because I know how scary it is to go to a dentist. And Father, we just pray that you would speak peace over Piper, over her procedure tomorrow. Lord, she's not going to feel a thing. She's going to go in there brave and strong with no fear. And Father, that God, you are with her, and let her know that and let her take comfort in that, Father. And be with the doctors as they remove her wisdom teeth and let them come out quickly. And we pray for a quick recovery. And thank you, Lord, for that. And now, God, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. God, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Boy, if there's one thing that we could really need in the world today is peace and hope. There's a lot going on. Of course, a lot of people like to spend their time sitting in front of a TV with Fox News and CNN and all these other, I call them stations of depression. I don't see any glimmer of hope in those stations because, well, you know how the news media, they like to take every negative thing in the world and then they like to make it a big mountain, and then they get, because they know they can hit the hearts of those who worry a lot. But Christ tells us that in Him, we have peace. And we have peace, how does the Bible tell us? Abundantly. He doesn't give us just 25% and then say, okay, child, I want you to live the other 75%. Christ gives us peace in this great abundance. And it's ours. It's a free gift. But we have to take the gift and then we have to put it to use in our life. So what I want us to get out of the message today is that the believer that is justified by faith does have peace with God, stands in grace, and also rejoices in hope even through suffering. And a lot of people would say, do I have to really rejoice in suffering? Well, I want to share something with you. Now, last Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, I told Piper, I was on pretty high nerves too, because I had to go in for an oral procedure Wednesday morning. And I'll tell you what, now, I don't know. I don't like needles. I just don't. In my mouth. I don't mind an IV. It's weird. An IV and shots don't bother. But if you get near my mouth with a needle, I just come unnerved sometimes. So anyway, I prayed for quite a few days and I said, Lord, and this tooth was broke at the root up front. So here I'm thinking root canal, I'm thinking possible. Oh, I mean, all these thoughts was going through my head. Got in the office Wednesday morning, they took an x-ray, and then Dr. Cripps, she walked in, and I tell you what, I was finally cool as a cucumber. And I thought, if they have to get a needle out, it's going to be all right. The Lord's with me. And I was just in there speaking blessings over people that I was meeting and just having good conversation. About that time, Dr. Cripps come in and she said, well, let's take a look at this tooth. And boy, I tell you what, she kicked that chair back and I thought, I'm going to handle this like a big guy. She got her little hook out and she put it there. So every prayer that I've been praying, I said, Lord, I pray that this tooth will come right out and the root will come with it. Well, she got that little hook just to look at it. And within a few minutes, she goes, but whoa, it's out. And most of the root was with it. And she said, now there's a little bit of root in there. And she said, but here's the good news. It will work its way out. You're done. So see, sometimes we stress over things before they ever happen. Now, I heard something. I walked out of neighborhood co-op this morning, had my little grape healthy soda in my hand, got in the car, turned on the car, and WBGL, I love to listen to WBGL Christian radio, and there was a woman on there. I thought, man, this goes so well in line with today's sermon. She was talking about fear, and she said, if we are living by fear, she said, then that's a problem. She said, that means we don't trust God. And she also said, we're not letting God run and control our lives if we live in fear. And she said, that's a sad situation to be in. And that's so much, that's a lot of truth. But anyway, let me get into this message now so I don't go chasing rabbits around the tree. But being justified by faith, it brings peace with God. So in the first verse talking about being justified by faith means we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. So you are justified by faith. You're not justified by your works. You're not justified by who you are. You're not justified by your family or the church that you go to. You are only justified through faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that justification means that Jesus sees you through His shed blood. He sees you cleansed. He sees you whole. And the greatest thing, being justified with Jesus means we are in unity with Him. It means we have a tight bond. We have a great relationship with the Lord Jesus. And you know what? If any of you got people in your family that you have a tight bond with, people that you felt so secure with, that you always wanted to be around them because they made you feel good, well, I want you to know this. If you would have that same relationship with Jesus Christ, you would feel way more secure than you ever have in your life at any point in time with any regular human being. So justified by faith, we have peace, okay? So if you are unified with the Lord Jesus and it's through His death, burial, and resurrection, and if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then guess what? We should be able to live this life as a cool cucumber. We should be the ones who are relaxed. I got a friend of mine, and I love him to pieces. His name's Larry, and Larry lives over here at Murfreesboro. Larry's about 6'10", and I'd say, Larry, how you doing today? He goes, chilling. I'm chilling like a villain. And I'm like, man, I like that guy. And he always seems to have it together. And here a while back, I went to his house because he does detailing of cars. He's retired, but he does detailing of cars. And as I was in his house, he took me downstairs to show me his big model train layout in his basement. It takes up the whole vast cavity of his basement, this big train layout. And he'd been telling me that he had suffered a little mini stroke. And as he talked about his condition and what he was feeling, here something I noticed, he wasn't scared, he wasn't unnerved, and he wasn't having a panic attack about it. He was at the most calm of his life. And I told him, I said, well, Larry, I said, I'm going to be praying for you. He's one of my best friends, and I love him dearly. But in situations in our life, we have to trust God. And being justified means that we are declared. Now listen to this. We're declared righteous by God. That's God's declaration. That's not anybody else's speaking over you. This is God saying that through my Son's blood, I declare you righteous. Now we're going to sin. We're going to fail. We're going to have all these kind of problems in life. And we're going to slip and fall. But if we seek the Lord's forgiveness and we repent of our sins, then the Bible says that we will be forgiven of our sins and we'll be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And peace that we have with God, it's not a feeling. It is being reconciled with Him. I hear so many people say, oh yeah, I just don't feel God today. Well, I want to tell you this, it's not a feeling. And a lot of people, when they get saved, they go, well, I didn't feel the lightning bolt. Bam, I didn't feel this big. Well, let me tell you something. Getting saved is not going to have a dramatic, there's not going to be some dramatic unfolding happen. Now, I know there's been some people delivered from maybe a bad lifestyle or drugs or alcohol or whatever was going on in their life. I've heard some great testimonies out of some people. But when I got saved, I mean, I just had a couple friends, James and Matt Brown, who didn't want me to leave the church that night. I was going to go drink with some buddies, and I was going to go party and live it up, I thought. But two friends of mine, one got his legs and sat down under the front wheel of my car, and he said, oh, you can leave. But he said, I love you so much, I would give my life for you, because I want you to know Jesus. Well, that right there caused me to break down and cry. And so, as I had my car was running, one James reached in and turns off my car and took my keys and put them in his pocket. He says, you got no choice, come on. And I could feel the Holy Spirit just urging my heart. The Holy Spirit had been dealing with me for some time about being saved. And we went into the prayer chapel, and I got on my knees and I prayed. There wasn't fireworks and all these bright lights, and there was not a host of angels, you know, come out of heaven singing, because there was none of that happened. So God is not just a feeling. God is God. And when we don't feel Him working in our lives, when we feel the moments where it's quiet, when we're going through a struggle, that's when our faith has to kick in. That's when we have to lean on Him. That's when we have to know from what His Word says. If we read His Word and we plant it in our heart, then the words, I mean, the verses of God's Word will come quickly to us. And how we've been trained our whole life, we should not switch tracks and get on the bad track that leads to destruction, where we have fearful thoughts, where we're negative, where we don't see any hope in a situation, but we should attain to stick with the Lord and trust Him by faith. Because I'll tell you this, if we would stick beside the Lord by faith, then He will take care of every need. He takes care of every detail in this life. We need to stop trying to earn salvation through our works. And we have to rest in the finished work of Christ. So that means we don't have to earn our salvation. And now there's a lot of people who get a religious spirit and a religious attitude, and they'll get out and say, well, I've got to do this or I got to do that to get the Lord's favor. I've got to do this to get to heaven. I've got to teach Sunday school so many years, or I need to serve as a deacon. People get it in their head and they get their beliefs twisted around. But your works are not done. I mean, your salvation is not done by your works. It's not because of you. Jesus came and he took the place on the cross. And when Jesus said the words, "It is finished," then the work was already completed right there. The work was done. And now we have to rest in that. And by resting in the Lord means that you trust Him 100%. I almost skipped what I was going to say. I was going to mention something about Job and all his wonderful friends who came to him during his suffering. Grace gives us access to stand firm. Believers in Jesus Christ have full access to God. And I want to just highlight on this for a second. You and I as Christians, before Jesus died, we didn't have direct access to the throne of God. We weren't able to come into the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus died, the veil was torn and the way was made. The gap had been bridged, and Jesus made it possible for us to have total access 24/7 before the throne of God. And I tell you what, when there's something going on in my life, you know where I would rather be? I would rather be on my face praying before the Lord, having time with Him, because I know that when I get done praying, I feel like I have already won the battle. Now, I never know the outcome of any situation, but I know this, that God is walking by my side. I also have a lot of learning still yet to do. I'm not perfect, and I'll never be perfect as long as I'm on the face of this earth, but I can tell you this. I've got access to the Father, and I want to spend my time there. Oh, I do. If I could, I would love to spend every day before the throne of the Lord, but then we also have a job to do. Do you realize that right now there's so many people that are dying and going to hell, and we as Christian people basically are casually standing by and never saying a word to them? And mainly what happens is we get afraid and fearful. Well, I don't want to go witness to so-and-so because they just won't listen to me. Well, you know what? If you start doing things under your own power, guess what? They're not going to listen to you. I know this by fact. I've seen people go. We've gone out witnessing as groups before years ago, and we used to go out on the weekends, and we'd go out and witness on Friday, Saturday nights, and I would see people who would get into their own attitude, they would get into their own words, and they would start to carry on a conversation with somebody, and before you knew it, the other person was turned off. I even saw one night where one guy who claimed to be a Christian got into a heated argument with a guy who was lost, and they were about to duke it out. And somebody had to jump in between them and break it up and stop it. So see, when you and I lean and trust on our own righteousness and our own ways, we're going to fail and falter. And we're not going to make any progress in the kingdom of God. So by witnessing, we have to go out by the authority and the power of the Lord. And we have to trust in His peace that He's going to lead us to the right people, the right places. And He will always give you every word to say. Grace is the foundation where Christians stand. Is it built on God? If your foundation's built anywhere else, guess what? Your house will fall. Your house will not stand. When the storms of life come up against you, it'll be obliterated. But if your foundation is built on Christ, who is the solid rock, then your house can stand through anything. Now, I like that old song. Anybody know the old song, "The Anchor Holds"? Yeah, in the storm, the anchor holds. That's one of my favorite songs to listen to. Another song I like to listen to, "If It Wasn't for the Lighthouse, Where Would This Ship Be?" Basically, if it wasn't for Jesus, where would I be floating astray right now? But because of the foundation that my house has been built upon, The devil has come up against it many times throughout the years, and the devil has tried to destroy what was being built, and the devil was never successful. Now, there were times that I leaned on my own understanding and my own ways, and I fell flat on my face, but I had to come right back to the Lord, and I had to say, Father, I failed you. I tried to do this my way, and you know what? Sadly, there's times that I still do that today. Now I bought this new vehicle, have nothing but problems with it, so I'm trying to find something older. Well, the other night, I was sitting on the computer, and I was looking at cars online. And I was getting really kind of aggravated because I wasn't finding something that was good and reliable and a little cheaper and all that. And Janine says, are you ever going to get off that thing tonight? She said, you have been on that. She goes, why don't you pray and ask God to help you with this? And so, see, there was a moment that I was relying on my own self. But anyway, all that aside, salvation is not temporary or unstable. Salvation is a thing that lasts your whole life. The Lord's not going to take it away from you because you sin and fall, okay? There's going to be times in your life. Now, funny story I was thinking about yesterday. Now, my grandmother was a preacher's wife. I thought that woman could do no wrong. And I won't forget, I would be in the car with her. She had a 66 Chevy Impala, and it was this old dusty white color. And she would get that thing out on the streets of Little Rock, Arkansas. Has anybody ever been in downtown Little Rock and seen those hills? It's like a roller coaster at Six Flags. And that woman could go from 0 to 70 miles an hour in less than 2 seconds. And as I was riding in the passenger side with just that little lap belt over me, she's up and down those hills, and she would get behind other drivers, and she would lay on the horn, what is your problem up there? Can't you drive? Get out of my way. And I'm thinking, oh, dear Lord, let them get out of the way so I can live. And one time, she even pulled up next to us at the stoplight, pulled up next to this fella. He had his window down. And, of course, you know, back then, we had 55-mile-an-hour air conditioning, which means your windows are down. When you're going 55, you got good airflow. So, anyway, she had her window down. She pulls up next to this fella, and she said, hey, don't you know how to drive? What in the world is the matter with you? You like to run over me back there. And he's just looking at her wide-eyed. So I'm thinking, man, I had seen another whole side of my grandma. I'm thinking, she's supposed to be a Christian, and she's out here yelling at people. And she's about ready to kill me in the process of it all. But I got to thinking, is my grandmother saved? Does she know Jesus? Because this is not the kind of teaching that she's given me in life about being a good Christian person. So I come to find out that even though we make mistakes, God doesn't take salvation away from us. Jesus died one time. The blood was shed on the cross one time. He rose from the dead one time. So I want you to rest easy in what I'm about to say. The Lord loves you so much that the justification is what keeps you from losing your salvation. And I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, oh yeah, you can lose your salvation. No, you can't. Now, there's people who might turn away from God and maybe go back to their old ways of living, but I'll tell you this, because if somebody could lose their salvation, then Jesus would have to come back and die again. Now, if we've got access to God, then we can approach His throne boldly in prayer. In the movie The Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy and the Scarecrow and Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion are approaching the wizard, you remember how scared they were? They didn't want to get too close. That's how a lot of people sadly treat God. They treat God like He's going to knock them over the head, or hit them with lightning bolts or something. And God is so loving. God is so kind and He is so patient. I could just picture God with open arms saying, "Child, come unto me." Now, if God is love, then we know that God's love is gentle, it's good. And if He's kind and patient, then we know He's not going to knock us over the head. But if the door is open, then we should approach His throne boldly. We should come to His throne with grace. I mean, when we come to His throne, we will receive grace and mercy. That's why I say we should not let prayer time be something that's very less in our lives. We must stand confidently in God's grace rather than guilt. And I'll say that again. We have to stand confident in God's grace rather than guilt. And too many times we get hooked up in living in the guilt because Satan is talking to your mind. He's got your brain twisted up in a pretzel and you don't know which way. And all you can remember when you're in a moment of anxiety like that is, "Oh, I've done too many bad things. Oh, the Lord could never forgive me for that. Oh, I messed up yesterday." Well, you know, I got mad at somebody. I got aggravated at somebody yesterday because, man, I was going along and they just pulled right out in front of me. And I thought, "What is your problem?" Ooh. And I got in the other lane and, well, you know how we do as Christians. We hit the gas and go around them, get right back in front of them. But that's the wrong thing to do. But anyway, when we do wrong, we can't go on living with the guilt. If you go on living with guilt in your life, it's going to be a load upon you and it's going to keep you from moving forward and growing in Christ Jesus. See, guilt becomes a weight, and that guilt, before long, it turns into worry, and then that worry turns into anxiety. And then that anxiety, it turns into physical problems within your body. And I want to tell you this, and this is truth. If we worry all the time, it will destroy your health. It does. And it will make you a living, nervous wreck. I was involved in a bad traffic accident some years ago. And I was declaring I ain't never going to drive again. And I was too scared to get out on the road and get around people because somebody hit me at a high rate of speed and I was sitting still. And I thought, man, all my peace had been taken away from me. Well, I had a friend told me, he said, "Well, you can't keep living in that kind of fear. How are you going to get to work?" "Well, I'll take a taxi cab." And then somebody said, "Well, what if somebody hits the taxi cab and you're in it?" Well, that right there got me over that hump pretty quick. Well, now you can see I'm back in a car driving again. But if we live with guilt, if we live with heaviness and shame, we're never going to grow in Christ. We're never going to learn how to persevere. We're never going to learn how to stand on our own two feet. And we're never going to grow in faith. That's the whole problem. And people today that watch the news constantly and take in that garbage, that's how they live their lives. I've got a cousin right now, and I won't say her name, but she's 68 years old. She has lived contagiously by Fox News and CNN every single day. Instead of reading her Bible, she has taken in what the news has said, and she has been in I kid you not, she has been in a state of paranoia for so many years, and now she's fighting dementia at 68 years old because she has decided in life she's going to give in to the pressures that are all around her. She's going to give in to the fear that the devil has given to her on a platter, and that's what she's been feeding or eating off of what the devil's been feeding her, and it has literally destroyed her spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus. And now she's battling dementia. She can't remember anything, and she's still, I could talk to her, Did you watch the news today? Oh my goodness, we're going to have a food shortage crisis. We're going to get blowed up. That's how she's lived her life. Got to the point where she bought deep freezers for her house and had them stuffed full of meat. And the meat's been in there for 7 to 8 years and it's bad. Well, anyway, I won't keep going on about it. But what I want to say, if you live in God's grace, and if you live by His power and peace, then the guilt's not going to be first priority in your life. You're going to learn to tell the devil to shut your mouth, or to shut his mouth, and get out of your head, and to quit speaking lies to you. The Lord has said that He has given us life, and that He has given us life abundantly. Now, last thing, trials will produce spiritual growth. What I read in verses 3 and 4, we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So, why does God use suffering in our lives? It's to make you mature. It's to make you trust in Him. It's to help you to have a closer walk with Him. And I've got some people who say, well, I used to pray for patience because I thought the Lord would just give me patience. No. When you pray for patience, guess what happens? The trials will come along. And here's what God's wanting you to do. When you're in that trial, God is wanting you to say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to be joyful through this. Yeah, there's may be some suffering. There may be some hardships. But God, I trust you through it all. And who knows about trials and heaviness? Jesus Christ. He lived it to be our example so that we would never lose heart. Now, if Jesus made it through, now remember, He didn't sin, but He was our example. So we should follow that example, and we should let God's grace develop us. We should let tribulations be the time where we praise, where we rejoice, where we sing. I told you the testimony about, you know, the night that I was having the severe back condition, and I hurt. And all I could do that night was sing and praise and pray, and I cried before the Lord. And some people might say, well, that sounds a little babyish. Well, then that's what they can think. But that same night, God told me, go to Larry and Sharon's house and have them pray over me. So when I left, they had that carport. You could come into the carport on either side from the street at their house. I pulled up on one side. They pulled up on the other. We had prayer, and God healed my back that night. And my fear of the whole situation was gone. Endurance produces proven character. Have you ever looked at somebody that you knew was a strong Christian and you said, boy, I wish I could be just like them? Well, let me tell you, you don't want to be just like them. You want to be like Jesus. And there's going to be a lot of times that, you know, endurance, it does produce good character. And I can attest that to running or weightlifting or whatever. If I'm going to run a big race, then I have to get my endurance built up. Now, I can't sit on a couch and eat a box of Lucky Charms and a box of Twinkies and drink a gallon of chocolate milk and just sit there day in and day out watching TV and then expect to go run the race and do well. I'd probably get about 10 feet, fall flat over, and pass out. But with the endurance, this is what happens. I have to train. So I'm 57 going on 58 years old. I have aches and pains. But if I'm going to run a race, I have to eat right. I have to go to the gym and lift weights. I've got to run and train my body to be able to withstand the pressures of running a half marathon, 13.1 miles I can run. And so if I didn't take those steps, then I would never be able to run the race well. And I want to apply that to the Christian life like this. If you read the Word of God, if you have a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're praying, if you're witnessing, if you're doing all the right kind of training, you will make it through this life, and you will make it with endurance because you have God giving you power. He's coaching you along the way, and He is there at every single turn, and He's ready to say, "Child, go another step. You can do this because my love and my power is within you." So remember, it goes tribulation to patience to experience to hope. And what's one of the best things that you can do when you're going through a trial? Instead of focusing on what's going on in your life, you know what you can do? You can go pray for somebody else who may be going through. Because when you start serving God, it gets your mind off of the troubles in your life. When you fix your mind on God, it helps put your mind on things that are above, because the Bible tells us that we should think on heavenly things. Don't dwell on the things of this earth that you and I can't do anything about. We have to faithfully and by trusting God give it to Him each and every day. And we have to walk in that faith. So I want to encourage you today as a Christian. I want to encourage you to have hope and peace. Now, we don't know what kind of a curveball we'll ever be thrown in this life. But we can know that what we're going through in life, the Lord Jesus is right there with us. And He's ready to walk the whole thing through with us. He is there to strengthen you, and sometimes if He has to carry you, then that's exactly what He will do. So I want to encourage you today to have hope and peace in Jesus with every aspect of your life.